Today is my mother's birthday. If I have the years counted correctly, she's 65 today. Now, I mentioned that to you not only because my mother's important and I'm the preacher today, but because I would have you consider for a minute the relationship between a mother and a child in light of the text that was just read, a text that talks about love. The relationship between a mother and a child is really unusual for natural man because it does seem to offer us a model of an unconditional love, a love that is constant, a love that is a love for the unlovable. I don't know if you've ever observed babies before. They're an interesting creature. I've had a chance once more over the last 6 months to watch my daughter transform from a woman to a mother, from a teenager who was more interested about herself a few years ago in high school to a woman who is very concerned about her son. But I don't for the life of me quite figure out what in her son makes him so lovable. Like all babies, his head is out of proportion to his body, and his limbs are quite stubby and short compared to his torso. And like all babies, he smells bad even after he has received a bath. Stick your nose up to next to one sometime, and it gets much worse from there. That's not by any means the worst of the smell. And then, of course, there's the noise factor and the inconvenience factor, and anytime you go somewhere, you need a moving van. Why do mothers love babies so much? Unconditionally, constantly, loving the unlovable. We turn to St. Paul and we realize that he doesn't quite have the mother and child relationship in mind. He has a bigger one yet than that. But let us hold that model in our heads for a few minutes as we pray the Spirit's guidance on this text today, where Paul says that love is in fact the goal of sound teaching. In the verses that immediately precede our text today, Paul had begun as he instructed Timothy what to do in Ephesus. Paul had left and had left Timothy behind because there were those who were teaching falsely, those who were involved in myths, who were generating endless genealogies, who were very much interested in speculations. They were doing fine theologizing, but it wasn't according to the economy of God. The administration of God, we rightly understand, is pure doctrine and correct administration of the sacraments. And there is later on in this letter to St. Timothy in chapter 6, verse 3, two criteria measurement standards by which somebody's doctrine may be judged. The first is, does it accord with the words of Jesus? That is the gospel the root and the base and the basics of that teaching? And the second is, what kind of produce does it produce? What is the product as that is lived out, as that teaching bears fruit in the lives of those who believe it? What do we see? What do we experience? It is that end that St. Paul addresses in these verses, and he summarizes the kind of produce that sound teaching, healthy doctrine, pure doctrine produces in a single word, anarthros, doesn't have the definite article, simply love. Love from a pure heart, love from a good conscience, love from an unhypocritical, genuine faith. But does he mean love for God, or does he mean love from God, or does he mean perhaps love for man? That latter is what he does mean, as he points out later on in this section. He gives a catalog of vices that pretty much correspond with commandments 4 through 8. And we realize that what's in focus as one of two criteria by which to judge whether sound doctrine is indeed healthy doctrine is that it produces a love for the brother. It produces a love for the other. Now, this is not going to be easy to do. We see in a mother-child relationship there is love for an other, but it's a pretty restricted other. My mom loves me, and I'm grateful, but she doesn't really know you. And I'm sure she would like you if she met you, but I don't think she would love you like she loves me. So your mom and the rest of us, and, well, who is our neighbor, ultimately, but everyone we meet? Can we, even on the natural level of a mother's love for a child, love another? The self-sacrifice, the giving of self, the unconditional extension of love, the valuing of another person Can we look at a stranger and say, you're just as important to me as me? Can we look at an enemy and say, I consider your welfare ahead of my own? And yet that is the fulfillment of the second table of the commandments, to love your neighbor as yourself. And we can't do it. We fail. We have failed ever since our first parents, Adam and Eve, chose to become gods unto themselves, and we inherit that, and we are gods unto ourselves. And for evidence of that, look at the infant that the mother loves. No infant that I've met so far, including my grandson, asks if it's convenient to be fed or changed. Rather, there is a loud wail that insists you do it right now. My way is the only way. I am the one who's important in my universe. And we carry that into adulthood too, don't we? And we watch it play out in our lives. As a pastor who had many couples sit before me in church counseling situations, it is more common to see conditional love, inconstant love, a love that says, I'll love you if you love me, I'll love you if you meet my needs, I'll love you if you do what I want, a love that's better defined as manipulation than unconditional, self-giving love. We have been loved, however, unconditionally, and not just by our mothers. We have been loved with a self-giving love and a self-sacrificing love, but we find that only at one place. It's just outside the old wall of Jerusalem, on a hill where they execute criminals, where we find God himself in the person of his Son, loving us with a love that led him under the wrath of God, under the law and its penalty, that led him to replace us and take the judgment we deserve for our godlessness. That at the time we were God's enemies, he valued us, not because there was value in us, but because he declared us valuable to the point of giving himself for us unconditionally, no strings attached. I will send my Son to you if you show me good faith. I will give you this sacrifice if you make even a halting step in my direction. No. Not at all. God simply gives us his love by his Holy Spirit in Jesus Christ and him crucified. And then calls us to give it away and to share it. Sound doctrine is what the Holy Spirit uses to bring us to faith, whether that doctrine is under the water of baptism or under the bread and wine of the supper, in the Bible written or from the pulpit or the street corner proclaimed. Healthy doctrine, healthy teaching, brought to faith, brought to life, brought to love, we're called to love unconditionally the unlovable, to love other people, no matter where we find them, with a pure heart that is pure from the blood of Jesus, to love other people wherever we serve them with a good conscience, a conscience that can no longer accuse in the light of the cross, to love other people, regardless of how we feel about them, with an unhypocritical faith given and strengthened by the Spirit, genuine and honest and cross-shaped. And as we love, as we depend on the Spirit to work, to lead, to guide, to direct, to uplift, to correct and uphold us, we also remember that we cannot lose our love, a love given to us by the one who promises that no created thing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. In his name, we have the love that transcends even a mother's love, an eternal love. Amen.